Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Ma. Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Kuntavad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi This will be all right, yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Jai and Vijay, Cursed by the Sages, Text Number 7. And pardon my Sanskrit pronunciations. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitram renum. This is Brahma Samhita, yeah. Yat sevayat, go ahead. Rana Padma Pavitra Renum, thank you. Sadhya Kshata Kila Malam Prati Labda Shilam. Nashir viraktam api mam bijahati dyasya. Nashir viraktam api mam bijahati Preksha lavarta itare niyaman vahanti. Yatsevaya charana padma pavitram renum. Sadhyakshatakila malam pratilabda shilam. Nashrir viraktam api mam bijayhati asya. Preksha lavarta itare niyaman vihanti. Please chant. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitrarenum. Sadhyakshatakila malam pati labda shilam. Nashir viraktam api mam vijahati yasya. Preksha lavarta itare niyaman vihanti. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renum. Sadhyakshatakila malam prati lavda shilam. Nashir viraktam api mam vijayhati yasya. Preksha lavanta itare niyaman vahanti. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renum. Sadhyakshatakila malam pati labda shilam. Nashir viraktam api mam vijahati asya. Preksha lavarta itare niyaman vahanti. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renum. Sadhyakshatakila malam prati labda shilam. Nashir viraktam api mam vijahati yasya. Preksha lavarta itare niyaman vihanti. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra renum. Sadhyakshatakila malam pati labda shilam. Nashir viraktam api mam vijahati yasya. Preksha lavarta itare niyaman vahanti. Word for word. Yat of whom? Sevaya, by the service. Charana, feet. Padma, lotus. Pavitra, sacred. Renum, the dust. Sadhya, immediately. Kshata, wiped out. Akhila, all malam sins pratilabdha acquired shilam disposition na not Shri the goddess of fortune viraktam have no attachment api even though mam me vijahati leave yasha of the goddess of fortune preksha lava arta for obtaining a slight favor itare others like Lord Brahma niyaman sacred vows vahanti observe translation the Lord continued because I am the servitor of my devotees my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin and I have acquired such a disposition that the goddess of fortune does not leave me even though I have no attachment for her and others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The relationship between the Lord and his devotee is transcendentally beautiful. As the devotee thinks that it is due to being a devotee of the Lord that he is elevated in all good qualities, so the Lord also thinks that it is because of his devotion to the servitor that all his transcendental glories have increased. In other words, as the devotee is always anxious to render service to the Lord, so the Lord is ever anxious to render service to the devotee. The Lord admits herein that although he certainly has the quality that anyone who receives a slight particle of the dust of his lotus feet becomes at once a great personality. This greatness is due to his affection for his devotee. It is because of this affection that the goddess of fortune does not leave him, and that not only one but many thousands of goddesses of fortune engage in his service. In the material world, simply to get a little favor from the goddess of fortune, people observe many rigid regulations of austerity and penance. The Lord cannot tolerate any inconvenience on the part of the devotee. He is therefore famous as Bhakta Vatsala. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitrarenum sadhya kshatakilamalam pratilabdha shilam na shrir viraktam api mam bijahati yasya prekshalavarta itare niyaman vahanti. The Lord continued, because I am the servitor of my devotees, my lotus feet have become so sacred that they immediately wipe out all sin, and I have acquired such a disposition that the goddess of fortune does not leave me, even though I have no attachment for her, and others praise her beauty and observe sacred vows to secure from her even a slight favor. Om Agyanama Chamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Minitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kaupa Turubhyascha Kripa Sanduvyevacha Patitanam Bhavanyebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaste Giridajaya Shri Govardhana Namane Shesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Daine Vrindavani Vrinde Vishvapujita Pushpasaranandani Krishna Jivani Vishvapavani Tulsi. So here is a continuation of the Lord And sometimes he's glorifying his devotees, brahmanas, new devotees, the new bhaktas, the four kumaras, and sometimes he's praising his older devotees who may have made some mistake, some transgression. But his feelings toward them are not different. His feelings to them are equal. Samoham sarvabhute. He is equal to all, but especially to his devotees. He puts great attention and great focus. And so Prabhupada starts this purport in an extremely sweet way, that this relationship between the Lord and his devotees is transcendental. It's nothing. It's not like friendships we may have in the material world, where we have usually some expectation of friendship. Well, you were there for me, I'll be there for you. Or I was there for you and now you're here for me. But when you're not there, then sometimes it becomes like, or if there's some disturbance, they got a nicer car or something, then, I don't want to be around that because I'll look diminished. So sometimes friendships go through this in the material realm. They go through ups and downs. And there's usually something, at times, there's usually something that someone is looking to gain from that relationship. However, the Lord's relationship with his devotee is not like that. It's pointed out to be here as transcendental. It's transcended any material tinge, any material covering or influence that we may have in relationships in the world that we are accustomed to. And so as devotees, we're striving for that. How to see each other in a transcendental way, how to have relationships in a transcendental way, where these externals, things that, you know, come with the body that are so automatic, you could say, like we as we get older, we get twitches and they're automatic. They just happen because the body is getting older or the body is failing. So because we're in the material world, we automatically are kind of covered by these different modes that tinge these relationships. But what we're given a glimpse into is the Lord and his relationship with his devotees, and that it is transcendental, it is beyond. And Prabhupada then says, as the devotee thinks, the devotee is naturally thinking, oh, this is Krishna's mercy to me, that he is being kind to me. But Krishna is thinking something completely different. He's thinking, oh, this devotee is so dedicated to me, therefore I'm giving. So there's this, you could say, it's again transcendental. It's a transcendental competition where the devotee is always has Krishna in the Sadavo hridayam mayam, sadunam hridayam tvaham. That I am always in the heart of the devotees, of the pure devotees. It's specified there. This is in the prayers of Krishna speaking to Durvasa Muni as Durvasa was going after Ambarish, and he wants relief. He's going to Krishna. Well, let me go directly to Narayan, to Vishnu, for relief of his chakra. But he says, no. The devotee, they are always in my heart. And why is that? Because sadhanam ridyam tvaham, because in their heart, I am. And just as the sevaya charana padapavacham, as devotee's meditation on the lotus feet of Krishna is constantly in there, therefore Krishna is always giving the mercy of his lotus feet. So it is this very wonderful reciprocal relationship that the devotee has. And so when there's a disturbance in that, as we're seeing in this pastimes, the Lord then steps forward. Because if we think maybe in our lives of relationships, maybe our closest relationships, usually our family members, somebody in our family, if there is something threatening them, we don't think, okay, well, let's observe this and see what happens. No, it's almost immediate that you'll go forward for protection, to give protection. And so, and why is that? It's because that person or those persons in your life have become so dear to you, and you have, and they have, vice versa, you are so dear to them. And so immediately, there's no question, like, we'll hear stories of people jumping over bridges or, you know, ripping car doors off or doing extraordinary things because that relationship seemingly is being threatened. And when the relationship is threatened, then no matter what, that is my focus. Everything else I'm doing is, I drop. Let me focus on that. And so Krishna is like that. He's seeing this conflict between two sets of his devotees, and both of them, sadavo hridayam mande, they're both in his heart, and they're, and both of, and Krishna is in the hearts of all of them. Jai and Vijay, they didn't have some like ulterior motive. They just, this is our service. You know, make sure we don't let anyone in to our Lord who doesn't belong. They made a mistake. They couldn't see properly for whatever reason. But still, the Lord is in their heart. They love that service. The service itself was so endearing to them that, how could we give this up? Even when they considered, do you want three births as demons or seven births as devotees? I thought, I love this service so much. Let's get back here as quick as possible. We'll take the three. So they have the Lord in their heart. And the Kumaras, they're just now learning about the personality of Godhead. They're appreciative of his all-expansive Brahman. Again, to the Charana Renu, the Charana Padam, they became enlivened by the Tulsi to the lotus feet of the Lord. Still, the lotus feet of the Lord were the, you could say, the active ingredient to their bhakti. So this, the lotus feet of the Lord, I mean, we hear so much of the renum of the, in different holy places, it is called the raj. It is the topmost quality of the particular place because the lotus feet of the Lord has touched it. And here's an appreciation or a glorification of the goddess of fortune, that she never leaves the lotus feet of Krishna. Even though she may have a desire, she'll never leave his feet. and this kind of, there's a description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya was touring South India in Ranga Kshetra, which is the area of the Sri Vaishnavas, or the disciplic succession coming from the goddess of fortune. And he was staying at the house of one of these devotees. His name was Venkatabhata, right? Yes, Venkatabhata. And so he was staying there for Chaturmasya for 4 months, and so there was a lot of chanting and dancing and all that. But they had this relationship started to turn, and so there was some joking going on. Lord Chaitanya would sometimes joke with him, "Ah, oh, you're a goddess of fortune. She just wants to perform austerities to attain Krishna, the Tribhanga Krishna, not Narayan." So there's some joking going back and forth, and there's the description of the Venkatabhata. He's kind of like becoming a little bewildered here, because he's being asked questions by Lord Chaitanya. Well, why is it she wants to go and perform pastimes with Krishna. And so Lord Chaitanya's description is that because Krishna has four attributes of which Narayan does not have, she is attracted to them naturally. And so she'll perform great austerities to obtain that form of Krishna. But the problem was she was so attached to her service of attending the lotus feet of Narayan, she couldn't give everything, absolutely everything, which is required. And Lord Chaitanya explained that that was the difference, that the devotees of Vrindavan, they were able to give everything. And this will, I promise this will be referred to here in this verse and purport. They were able to give everything, and therefore Krishna was able to give them himself. And only then, for those who were able to give everything, they gave up everything, their reputation, their everything. They didn't have any other aspirations. As in this verse, we're hearing, what is the life in the material world? We're always aspiring for more and more opulence and more Shri in the form of Lakshmi or things. And they're saying that to obtain that, to obtain even just a slight bit of material enjoyment or material favor, niyamam bhanti, we do many vows and we do many austerities. Some, in certain cultures, they'll actually do performance of yajna for this. How do I get, you know, great opulence in this? In our culture, you know, stars and stripes culture, where, you know, we're like, work hard, get your paycheck, and enjoy. But it's still the same idea. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. We're trying to obtain something for some enjoyment. And we do it, it takes just to get a little of her mercy in that way. It takes a lot of endeavor. And we're never, even when we get it, we're never fully satisfied. It's never full satisfaction. But for the residents of Vrindavan, they give everything up. Everything. And we just want to be in service of Krishna. And so Lord Chaitanya and Venkatabhata, they are concluding this conversation that we shouldn't therefore then think, oh, Lakshmi is less of a devotee than the gopi. This is all transcendental relationships. She has her transcendental relationship where she is so satisfied with the worship of his feet, although she does become attracted to those four special, the Leela Madhurya, the Prema Madhurya, the Vena Madhurya. She gets attracted. How can you not become attracted if you hear pastimes of Krishna playing his flute and you hear the super excellent pastimes that he has with the devotees in Vrindavan, and when you hear about his amazing beauty, how can you not be attracted? So she wanted to do it, but she also was very attached to her service of worshiping the feet. So there was some conflict. And then again, Lord Chaitanya concludes this, that we shouldn't see Narayan or Krishna as it, because he's trying to then, because Venkatabhata, he was like, oh, do I now give up my worship of Sri? Do I give up my worship of Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan? Oh, now what do I do? It's like, you know, but Lord Chaitanya said, no, don't worry. We shouldn't think of a difference. So when we hear a description, this is Narayan in Vaikuntha with the Kumaras and Jayavijay, we shouldn't think that, oh, it's not as, we don't have to pay much attention to these classes because it's not Krishna. I'll wait till the 10th canto, then I'll pay real good attention. But no, Lord Chaitanya tells Venkatabhata that we shouldn't see that distinction. This is Krishna himself as well. And if we do, make that, Lord Chaitanya actually says that that would be an offense to think like that. So, continuing with this glorification of this lotus feet focus of the Goddess of Fortune and the devotees. These qualities, and Prabhupada sums up this, is that the Lord cannot tolerate inconvenience on the part of his devotees. So inconvenience meaning what? Inconvenience of our being able to focus on him. Our being able to engage in his service. So he's always going to be available to help us progress in that. And therefore he has a name, he is called Bhaktivatsal. And this is also described when Lord Chaitanya was discoursing on the Atmarama verse. Atmarama ashtamanayo nirgante. So when he came to the words gunohari, the qualities of Krishna, this is when Lord Chaitanya some of those verses are just extremely amazing. And he begins, of these qualities of Krishna, he speaks, Aishvarya Madhurya Karuna Sarupra Punata, that these three qualities, Aishvarya, his quality of opulence, majesty, majestic, and everything, all fame, everything is opulence. Madhurya, his quality of such sweetness in pastime, such sweetness in character. And Karuna, his character, his quality of complete mercy. These are Sarupa Punyata. These are full and they are perfect. Perfect and full. Sarupa Punyata. They are amazing. But there is one more quality. One more quality. Although these are like when we think of God and not just our a particular discipline or other, anyone who would think of God, the majesty, certainly, Aishwarya, and mercy, he is merciful, and he's very sweet, he has this wonderful, pretty much that's universal understanding of God and his character. But this one, Bhakta Vatsalya, this one of his being affectionate to his devotees, this surpasses, far surpasses. And what does this quality provide, or what does this quality result in? Atma Paryanta, that he gives him his very self as a badanyata, as a magnanimity, as a gift. I will give my very self to my devotees that I have affection for. And which ones are those? Those that have affection for Krishna. He gives himself. And that, you know, again, the residents of Vrindavan are the best example that Krishna says, you know, I cannot repay you. You have given me far beyond anything I can even. So please just have your own good qualities, let that be sufficient. So he's Atma Parjantya Vadanya, he gives himself to the devotees. And that's such a, you could say, I think it's a, for me at least, it's a comforting feeling to think, oh, if I engage in Krishna's service, and if I could, you know, perhaps train myself that Sadavo Hridayam, that Krishna is really in the core of my heart. How do I develop that? How do I increase that? What is the process? We have our process given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We have the process to do that. And when we do it, we should feel comforted that Krishna is also providing. And so I thought it's always a good exercise to think of these things that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to us that are specific to this, specific to something he is reciprocating with us directly. So does anyone have any recollection of verses that Krishna may have said in Bhagavad Gita? That I have some in my mind, but I won't start. I'll let you start. Sarva Sarva Dharma, and how is that like directly to your relationship? He protects you, yeah. He himself protects you. We feel, you know, when we hear Saranam, but we hear of if we surrender to him, Saranam, that he gives us protection. That's one of the six limbs of surrender, actually, to think, to understand that Krishna will give us protection. That's a limb of surrender, of Vishvasya. Tation, yeah. Translation? Yeah. Yeah, of the Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita. Like Krishna's, first it says, Aham Sarvasya Bhava Bhava. I am everything. I am everything. And for those who matchita matprana, those who are engaging my service, tesham satata yuktanam, I'm giving them. And then he follows that up with tesham evanukam partam, that, and when we hear about Krishna's karunaya, his mercy, eva kumam, to give them special mercy. So to them, and the word them is to those who are tesham satata yuktanam, engaging in service, matchitta matprana, those who are engaging in hearing and chanting, and those, to give them special mercy, I, dwelling within their heart, I destroy all that darkness of ignorance, all those seeds and all those things that we're carrying birth after birth after birth. They become burnt up. They become, he does that by his special mercy. Thank you. Any others that you think of, Madhumati? Yeah, yeah. I preserve what they have and carry what they lack. Yeah, and there's a whole story of that, of what was the name of that devotee who kind of doubted that? Maybe. Anyway, there was a devotee who doubted this word that, oh, he would... Arjunacharya. He was doubting it, and he actually went as far as he kind of crossed it out in the Bhagavad Gita. So he kind of scribbled it out, and then he had a family, his wife, and he was out of the house for a moment, and two boys came to the house, and they were there. They said, "Here, we are bringing this for the Acharya. Please take it." And they were all like, you know, they had scratches and cuts and scars on them, and she was like, how did this happen to you? Oh, it was the Acharya. He has beaten us. He's. And so she was shocked because she never saw such a demeanor in her husband before that. And then he comes home and he sees all this boga and all these things that they didn't have before. And he said, What is this? Where did this all come from?" And she, you know, we'll get to that. But what have you been doing to these two boys? You know, they came and they were all beaten. They were showing signs of beaten. And we'll describe, but they were very beautiful still. There's the peacock feathers, and they were so beautiful. And then he realized, he does provide what I'm lacking. So he went back to his Bhagavad Gita and he unscribbled it as best he could. Yes. Yeah. That's actually very poignant in this, because not only did he give everything to Krishna, but he gave more. Because he didn't, what he gave wasn't even his. He went into debt. He begged some rice from the neighbors, and he brought that to Krishna. And that's what the Goddess of Fortune said when Krishna was repaying him by eating it. He said, "Oh, don't give him too much." And, you know, he He's unable to be paid back, so he was given everything. Nice, thank you. Anything else? Yeah, declare about my devotee will never be vanquished. So when we're in vanquished situations, we remember things like this. We remember, oh, why am I suffering? Oh, is it because I'm not Tesham Satyani, because I'm not doing this? Is that why I'm suffering? Because generally our suffering is due to mostly our mind, our mental situation. Sometimes we certainly will suffer physically, but even that can be remedied by a good mental situation, a good focus on Krishna. Sarvatra Pasyanti, you know, one who sees everything in Krishna, he's never lost to us. A lot of times, we may become forlorn and think, oh, Krishna, he's not with me. But if we see Krishna in everything, Krishna is there. He'll never be lost to me either. I am never lost to them, so it's very similar to this idea that they're in the core of my heart and I am in the core of their heart. So the same way, for those who are seeing Krishna and experiencing Krishna, we're seeing Krishna, the devotees are seeing Krishna everywhere. And Krishna is seeing them. He's always with us, becoming apparently in us. Not that it's just a conception, but we actually will feel. So we have so much we've been given by Krishna himself. He comes and gives, he speaks Bhagavad Gita, and then he comes. Swamurti alokalavanam nirmuknam lokanam ninam. He comes, he displays pastimes, and just by seeing those pastimes that are so attractive, all of our attention to everything else dissipates and we're just focused on Krishna. And kirtanam, kirita, that just by his activities, we will hear and chant about them. And so he's very happy. He does that through the Bhagavatam. He performs these pastimes, and what would happen? If we see something amazing, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to post it, and we're going to tell somebody else. So when Krishna comes, that's what the Bhagavatam is. Let's talk about Krishna, what he just did, all these wonderful things. And so we have all this. And then we have examples of great devotees as well. How they have actually inserted within their life the focus of the lotus feet of the Lord. And sometimes that's helpful, just to hear them. And I brought a little snippet of that. There's in Bhaktivinoda's Sharanagati, for those who like to study it, there's a particular song that's kind of coined as the Lotus Feet Song. So some of you may know it. It's such a wonderful song. Every song is about Krishna's Ekona Bhujana Prabhu Tomara Charana Akshopayo Mamrita Purna Sarvakana. So he's saying, and this is, again, as Prabhu said, that Krishna is protection. He's Sarva Dharma Parijaya. He provides protection to those who surrender. So this is in that section of seeing Krishna as the protector. And so hear these words of Bhaktivinoda and just try to understand his disposition and how he has come to that and how we ourselves can maybe do some things in our lives to come to that stage of being, oh, we have such a wonderful view every day, a view of deities, of so many things that we've been given. How do we enter it? So he says, now I have understood, O Lord, that your feet are eternally full of sweet nectar, and they dispel all sorrow and fear. Akshok bhayamrita. They dispel all sorrow and fear. Surrendering myself and all I possess unto those lotus feet, I have laid myself down submissively under their shelter. Your lotus feet, O Lord, will certainly shelter me. There are no other protectors in this world of birth and death. To come to that realization that I will gain full protection, Sarvadharma, we don't have to worry about anything not done, Sarvadharma, Vrijajat, Mami Kam Sarvadharma, Aham Tvam Sarvapapa, you give up everything else, we'll be fully protected. There are no other protections. We don't have to do this thing or that thing to be protected. You'll be protected by Krishna. Why? Bhakta Vatsalya Atma Bharjantya Vadanyatahi gives himself to the devotees who are in this mood of surrender. At last I know myself to be your eternal servant, Tava Nitya Das. Now the burden of my maintenance is exclusively yours. There's another song he actually says, Amit, I don't even belong to myself anymore. Such surrender. I don't even belong to myself. I am yours. In my life of independence, well, today is Independence Day. We have declared our independence, and we have declared our independence by simply having a material body. I have declared independence. In my life of independence of you, I have experienced nothing but misery. But now, upon accepting those lotus feet of yours, all my miseries have been cast far away. Then he begins to cite great devotees who have also accepted the lotus feet of Krishna. Desiring a place at your lotus feet, the goddess of fortune performed difficult austerities. Only after receiving your feet did Lord Shiva attain his Shivatva, or quality of auspiciousness. Upon obtaining your lotus feet, Lord Brahma had his desires fulfilled. Your feet are always held by the great sage Narada Muni within his heart. Now these are the examples, and now these last two are very personal to him. Now I hold those feet, those very feet, on my head. So we can either figuratively or mentally really imagine Krishna giving, what did he just say? He's willing to lop off his arms for his devotee. Certainly, will he give us his feet to put on our head? I now hold those very feet on my head, which drive away all fear, while I dance in great ecstasy, singing of their glories. Your lotus feet will surely deliver Bhaktivinoda from the dangerous perils of this worldly journey. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or contributions?
First, I want to make sure that any senior devotees have any questions for us. You were mentioning that suffering is due to the mind. So can you explain in one context, in one context, can we understand when you're saying that suffering is due to the mind?
Please. I didn't say do, but it certainly is affecting of the mind.
No, but I think you said something where you said something that suffering is because of the mind or due to the mind. Our apologies. I don't know. Maybe yeah. I didn't understand in the proper context.
That's okay. I think we can also understand it in that way, that sometimes we see persons in great mental anxiety, and there is no apparent external reason for it, but it is a thought. Sometimes a thought comes into our head. I know for me, there's so many things that would come into my head, and I suffer from it. I suffer anxiety, and then I or you start going down the road of, you know, you could go down the road of offense to others. This happened to me, and now I'm going to think about this, and I'm going to meditate on this. And it brings suffering. It's not bringing, if instead of focusing on the incident itself, and, you know, kind of digging deep, and sometimes we get, you know, the heart rate goes up, and we get quite attached to whatever the mind is calculating and predicting and presenting to us that we have to solve. Instead, if we think, oh, I am insignificant. I am insignificant. Tate nukampam shushamikshman. These things happen. Things happen. I certainly deserve worse. But instead of thinking down the line of that brings us downward, let me think of thinking, feeling, and willing, or those things that I can engage in Krishna's service with my mind, body, and words. Oh, and then, okay, the suffering becomes lessened. But yeah, there's mental suffering. And then even in physical suffering, that's what I thought I said. I said in physical suffering, even if we change our mental condition, that suffering becomes lessened. Because what is it that is actually happening if we're, let's just say, we pinprick ourselves. We are identifying with this body. As soon as we no longer identify with the body, then, you know, those things will have a lot less influence on us. We may get pinpricked, and there's an example. I think there was an example in Mahabharata of one of the devotees. They were getting eaten by an animal, but because his consciousness was elsewhere on service, it didn't affect him. So I don't know. I hope that was... Yeah, certainly the world, the material world, whether it's this world or all material worlds, that is the inherent character. Just as we heard the the gunas of the qualities of Krishna or Aishvarya Madhurya, the qualities in the material world are dukkhalayam ashashvatam. There's suffering, there's misery, and there's it's temporary. That's the inherent quality. Now, unfortunately, persons become in power and they direct so many things. Of course, that's also from their mental ideas. They're thinking this is the way to do things, and it only this way, and then so many sufferings happen. So it is affected. All these things become affected. And how much can each of us do? Yeah, you know, not only praying for ourselves to be focused on Krishna's lotus feet, how can we be magnanimous enough to hope for the rest of the world to also obtain the lotus feet where there is protection? Because there, no matter what law or whatever activity is being done, there is no permanent material solution for it. Unfortunately, it's the material world. You can say, well, we can make it as nice as possible, but even just by existing, we are, you know, paving a place. Okay, well, we've just kind of paved a place that used to be vibrant with things. So these are all things that were, every activity is affecting something else in the material realm, and it's usually getting worse. Where do we put all the garbage? It all just piling up somewhere, and then clouds of algae and things just start destroying whole ecosystems. So there's that. That's because we wanted a drink in a plastic bottle. But if, you know, if we went back to drinks in a clay cup, maybe wouldn't have as much of it. But it is the material, and that's the cycle. The cycle of the yuga is going. That it has. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But with the magnanimity of Krishna, Krishna is Bhaktavatsalya, and all of his devotees have that that equal magnanimity in their consciousness. Namo Mahavadanyaya. They in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, we want to give something that's not just a quick fix, material fix. We want to give them something permanent, something eternal. Yes.
It reminds me when there's that example of the dreamer, one who's dreaming, and he is dreaming that he's being attacked by a tiger. Yeah, but the one who's looking on sees that he's okay. You know, he's you know. So the illusory energy is very heavy.
Yeah. And And when you're there, when you're in that dream, there is a tiger.
Prabhu, when you said that Lord Chaitanya said that it's offensive to distinguish between Narayan and Krishna, is that how you said when you were speaking to Venkatabhat?
Yeah. There's a verse there that.
But it seems that there is a distinction. Many people believe that Krishna is an incarnation of Narayan. So that's lopsided there.
Yes.
So, but we make that distinction that, no, Krishna is the original personality from whom all other incarnations emanate.
Yeah.
So that's a distinction we're making.
It's a distinction, but ete chamsa kalampum sam, just Krishna is coming in the line of avatars, but that Krishna, he is the source of all of them. But oftentimes Prabhupada would say, it was just as one candle is one in another candle, another candle.
Sure.
They all have the same power and same, but there is an original candle.
Okay.
So it just depends, I mean, how much we want to put and what is the purpose of that in whatever conversation we'd be having?
Yes.
Okay, I gotta be, Krishna is, No, it's Narayan. No, it's Krishna, it's Narayan. And, Mm-hmm. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're both called the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right?
Also, that poem by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about the lotus feet. Is it that we, I can't imagine, how to say it, the actual lotus feet. Doesn't lotus feet of Krishna mean service? So I yearn for those lotus feet. I yearn to be fully engaged in your service. Is that the proper?
Yeah, it's part of the saranagati of surrender, that we surrender. And obviously, if you just think, if you look at it just physically, if you surrender to somebody, you go down, what's the first thing you see?
Okay.
You see their feet. And so your service at their feet, I am now your servant.
Okay.
But Krishna's lotus feet are also lotus feet, and they have amazing form, and anything they touch become Renu. The dust of Krishna's feet has as much as the same power as Krishna's feet. So when we go to Vrindavan, we take the dust and we put on our feet, and we're hoping to gain that. So yes, there's the figurative, you could say, okay, what's the practical side of surrendering to lotus feet? Is it just we appreciate, but there's active service as a servant, and Bhaktivinoda explores that. He says, I'm just tumi to Thakur, tomara kukur. I am your dog. I don't belong to myself. I am yours. Whatever you remnants you give me, I'll take very happily. And if you don't give me, that's okay. I'm still. And Lord Chaitanya prays like that. Whether you handle me roughly or make me brokenhearted or you put me in a brace, it doesn't matter. I am still unconditionally yours.
Yeah, also it occurred to me when you were saying that all the marks on the Lord's lotus feet,
yeah,
there's just a wealth of, you know, nectar.
Meditation, yeah.
Yeah, right there.
There's quite a lot of meditation, and there've been little books you can keep in your pocket and, like, you know, pull it out every once in a while, and yeah, thank you.
And also addressing protection. You know, I think of Drupadi when she was in the court. Yeah. And but I heard that, you know, in the pastime and this, that she's, you know, looking for Yudhisthira or somebody in the assembly to stop it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't. So only after, you know, thinking that in her environment or surrounding was going to be where she found her, you know, salvation, so to speak. And when she realized it wasn't going to happen, she lifted her arms up in total surrender to Krishna. And I think she asked Krishna, you know, what took you so long, you know, or something to that effect.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, you didn't come to me first.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't call on me first, you know. You didn't approach me first.
Yeah. Yeah, that was brought out later, I think. When she was there, she was holding as much cloth as she could and going to Bhima and going to Yudhisthira and Bhishma, pleading to Bhishma and Dhritarashtra, you know, how can you have this? But then when she just let go, then immediately Krishna was there. And then later in the forest, in exile, Krishna came and visited, and she asked him, you know, why did it take you so long? He said, yeah, because you were holding on. You know, if we stop the holding on, and that certainly takes a lot of faith that we will be protected. So that's why it's a development. It's not that we automatically come with it, but it's a development of this dependence on Krishna's protection. Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishvasha Palana. It is creating the mentality. It is a process within the process of Saranagati to create the mentality that Krishna will always protect us. And so that's an endeavor, and it's not just something we can just say, all right, let's see, let's try it. Let's go down I-75 and just throw our hands up. Let's try it. And it doesn't work that way. It's more?
It's kind of intriguing to me in the verse where it says that, where Krishna himself says, I have acquired such a disposition. So I just felt if he's, okay, how he acquired. It seems like he would already have that disposition.
Yeah, so. Prabhupada doesn't usually explain every single thing of the verse, but yeah, that also intrigued me. Of where is that acquisition exactly? And so I won't be able to answer that. But we hear of his six opulences. One of those is renunciation, that he is not attached. So even though she's there, he's like, okay, I'm detached. And in the Venkatabhata, it is mentioned that Krishna also is most attached to those pastimes of Vrindavan. So, and I think it's in the Adi Lila also that, you know, those devotees who are coming with me in prayer, they don't affect me as much as those who are like 100%, like just binding me. When Mother Yasoda binds me, I love that so much more than these, you know, official prayers and massaging the feet. And so his, you could say, acquisition, how did that come? But that's what he prefers. He prefers that relationship. He has, and that's why he has those past. Those are the pastimes that. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.